The following program is a tryout TV production, made possible in part by a special grant from the Friends of Channel 21, Incorporated.
It's America's artistic contribution to the world. And at the core of the music is improvisation, the spontaneous, creative effort of a musician who's literally composing on the spot. And yet jazz musicians play songs, written songs. These songs are the base from which a soloist can take off, the framework in which creative players roam freely. Songwriting is an unheralded, highly important creative process in jazz. The jazz composer puts as much heart and hard work into a song as the improvising musicians who play it. If a jazz player's solo is indeed an instant composition, then a writer's jazz songs are very personal, slow-motion improvisations. Chicago-born Richard Davis is a well-known, highly respected musician whose recording and performance credits on his own sessions and with others read like a who's who in jazz. Davis is one of the most respected bass players in the world. He's also a composer. Davis and his wife moved from New York to Madison, Wisconsin, where he teaches bass and jazz at the University of Wisconsin. That move has not slowed his composing or performing a bit. He's formed a new trio, bringing in Consuela Lee Moorhead on piano and Wendell Bond on drums. The group's rehearsing for their debut, a local performance, the bulk of which will be Davis's compositions. A song often reflects the life and loves of its writer, and Davis provides an excellent example of this reflection.
When I was a kid, my mother said I was always afraid of small animals like cats and dogs. I was always saying, oh, what's that? You know, this is like I was about 2 or 3 years old. But he said, you see a horse on the street, you walk right up to it and just look at it and, you know, want to pat the legs or something like that, you know.
Davis is an accomplished horseman. His riding activities make up an important part of his life, a part that's been with him nearly as long as his music.
I've always been fond of them, and my cousin, who also encouraged me to play the bass, was fond of horses. And then when she'd go riding, which was like once a year, he didn't have any money, but once a year on Memorial Day or some holiday, you go riding. So I used to try to follow her to the stable, and her father was a trainer. She used to tell me about all these things that he did, you know. And it just fascinated me, man, the boots, the leather, and the smell of the horse. And I go into a barn, and the smell of horses just knocks me out.
Probably should go back to, okay.
The Davis Trio prepares to rehearse a song written by Davis and arranged by fellow bassist Bill Lee, Consuela's brother. The new trio has never played the song, entitled Half Pass.
You just get that nice subtle rhythm like you did then.
Yeah, that's good.
So after, what do you say?
The horse has movements that he'll do on his own, which is natural, or natural for him. But the rider has to know enough and train the horse well enough to say, I want that movement now, you know. Well, the horse will be free in the pasture, and he'll just make movements on his own, you know. But you say, oh, okay, I want the movement now. And so he'll say, well, Okay. And so you train him to make this movement, which is going forward, but it's going also on a diagonal at the same time. So instead of his legs tracking singly like that, he's what you call two-tracking. So he takes the front leg and move it across the right front leg, or whichever direction he's going in. Then he does this, and then he moves it again. So he's going this way, but he's going on an incline forward at the same time. So that's what you call a half pass. A full pass is when he goes directly to the side. But the finger movement was going up the instrument, which is going forward compared to a horse, and it was going across also, which means on a diagonal, you know. So I thought of that, and it just reminded me of a horse's movement. When I'm playing the bass sometimes, practicing around the house, I'll just, you know, practicing improvising on some chord or something like that, and an idea comes to me, and I kind of use that for a theme. That's mostly how I compose anyway, just on the instrument. Then I'll sit down at the piano and try to figure out, you know, something about chord structure, but it's mostly in my head when I hear the melody. So I kind of paint pictures in my mind when I hear music.
There's no doubt about the picture Davis conjures for Half Pass.
A horse? Yeah. Even the tempo reminds you of the trot. It's like ding, boom, ba doo ba dee ba dee ba dee boom, ba boom, boom. And that's like pop, peep, pop, peep, pop, peep, pop, bing, boom, ba doo ba dee ba doo ba dee pop, peep, pop, pop. And the horse trots at that tempo very comfortably when he's doing maybe what you call a working trot, you know? So I think whenever I set the tempo for that song, I think about it, I see a horse trotting, and I try to match it up to that. Let's see, trying to get the tempo on this. You got a part on that?
Yeah.
I gave you some keys.
As listeners, we hear the final product, the song that seems to slide effortlessly off the fingertips of the musicians. Yet when they rehearse, musicians spend a lot of time and energy establishing a solid framework in which to play, and then figuring out how to turn ink on paper into music.
You might not have that last figure I just sung, the last note, but it's a ba ba ba. You got it too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just put that in for a few. How we use it depends on how it sounds. Because right then I'm playing a counter line.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And then we go into, let's see.
Then we go right into
blues choruses, right?
Richard, what do you want me to play a bass line in a, you know?
Where's that written at for you?
Letter C.
Letter C?
Uh-huh. See, I have what's written here.
Oh, yeah, you play it. Yeah, letter C, you play that. Okay, play that. Matter of fact, play that now. Play your letter C now.
Okay. One, two, three, four.
So you want me to go back to A after what?
De-dum.
You think I better write this down, what you saying?
Huh? Yeah.
I'm sort of confused already. We do intro A, mm-hmm. The shout. After the shout, I go right into that double stop thing at C.
Yeah.
And then you solo.
I solo on the blues.
Yeah, at D.
Okay.
Then after that, what happens?
That's what I'm saying. We have to go back to C.
Where are you going to solo on this? What do you want?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably after you do.
You want to do the mobile
thing? After your solo, what you just did, we probably come back on that letter B thing.
Okay.
Invariably, you wind up singing it.
Yeah.
And you use that. You use that a lot too. How do you feel about that?
I just sort of do that without even thinking about it. I guess I don't even know what the reason is. Like you say, you just sort of end up singing it. Like, I'll sing to all of my students what I want them to play on the instrument. And I know that when I conduct a band, I will get a tempo in my head and I'll sing the melody as it goes down, sometimes where they can hear it. Now, a guy who did it all the time, he used to sing a whole chorus. That was Stump the Band. That was Dizzy Gillespie. When he had a big band, he'd sing a whole chorus, man. And then after he sang that chorus, the band would come right in on what he was doing.
After you solo,
okay.
So we go back to B for a shout, like.
Okay,
you gonna try that rhythm now?
Yeah.
That bap, 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 ba doo ba da, bap, bap, bap.
Drummer, Wendell Bond.
Well, you tried to visualize finding the way to tie in both the rhythmic aspects of a tune to the melody, and pretty much is in a trio that's oriented toward showcasing a bass player. It requires playing basically very subtle, but still strong rhythmically, where you have to deal with a greater concept of dynamics, but it also is good for your control.
Just rehearsing let it be for one though.
I see.
Just to hear how that rhythm sounds. I don't know how it's going to even sound even.
Yeah, I think rhythm has a lot of influence on the composition. Rhythm,
one, two,
the interval exchange of notes, you know, that's the three sources, I guess, is the rhythm and the pitch and the phrasing, you know. I think the phrasing is the most important, really, because the phrasing is what makes the rhythm stand out. The music is so close to nature itself that there's a certain rhythm that comes out. You know, first there's the morning, and then the afternoon, then the evening. And there's a certain kind of rhythm in your day, a rhythm in your body, you know, and there's a rhythm in the instrumentalist who's playing. There's a certain tide that he goes through, you know. So when you do a composition, you hopefully will hear this rhythm of something beginning, swelling, and then having a recess. It's like a crescendo and then diminuendo, you know?
That ain't it.
All right, is this
to achieve this diminuendo and crescendo in his music,
okay.
Davis often uses the bow.
Ad lib here.
For a long time, I wouldn't bow that much because I felt that people would say, oh, he's classically trained, or he uses the bow, and, or he uses the bow too, or something like that. Because already, if you were black and you're playing jazz, it meant that you were at some level that wasn't first-class citizen, in a sense, you know. This guy, Les Thimmick, gave me a good word to use for that yesterday. It's called cultural enslavement.
Richard Davis often takes to heart Les Thimmick's observations. Thimmick is head of the School of Music Composition Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he was instrumental in helping bring Davis to Madison. A highly respected performer on all the saxophones and clarinets, Thimmick's vast compositional talents are applied to both classical and jazz writing. As a composer and teacher, he encounters many problems common to jazz writers.
Most of my jazz tunes happen this way. I sit down for 10 minutes after lunch to relax and, sit at the piano, which I don't play, incidentally, very well. But And a couple of, I like that. And pretty soon out comes the paper and the pencil. I'm writing it too. So the first page you have here is just simply the way in, where I'm going to be playing the melody, and you have the background. Second page you have is the way out, where we got a six saxophone band playing the tune. So it's this thing, just like very light. You know, that's where like the title came from. It was a day like today. You know, it was like bright and sunny and everything. I'm just thinking of a glider plane or something. Really, it was a very romantic thing with the title. The word express in its root meaning means to take what's inside and bring it outside. And I think every human being in the world has something to express. Mine takes the form of music. That's my main form of expression. I use 19th century terms. It's a desire to create beauty. I mean, even though that sounds kind of corny in a way, it comes down to that. It's a desire to make something that is a meaningful experience for the guy who made it and the guy who's going to be on the receiving, the guy who writes it, who plays it, who listens to it, who studies it. So it's something meaningful and actually uplifting for everyone involved. This last measure, we got to be heads up on this, because no matter how well I give you that cue, we're still moving fast, because we're going, see, because you repeat these bars indefinitely, you hypnotize yourself. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da, you know, it's like a typewriter. Going back, and all of a sudden, the jerk that's standing up in front throws you a cue, and he's, you got to reorient yourself to actually reading the music.
So then I like to keep everything loose. I don't like people who are in a hurry. I like to... I can't deal with anyone who doesn't have a sense of humor. Maybe that's my weakness. And I like to laugh a lot. I like to make fun of the chart. You might have heard something down there. Every chance I get, I make fun. If I make a mistake, I call everybody's attention to it rather than try to cover it up. That's just my nature. I think it's a lot of fun to laugh at me. I like to laugh at you, too, when you're playing. You make a mistake, I'm going to lay all over you. Now, my philosophy is, if you play it right, I'll laugh. If you play it wrong, I'll laugh. And the two laughs will be identical.
Some more solos, whoever wants to play. All right?
That looseness and his exceptional performing skills are the reasons for the respect shown Thimmig. His players know when to listen.
There's so many bands where some third trumpet player comes up and say, Les, man, we got to have more charts. I said, well, you write them, man. You know. People don't understand what goes into it. If you have a 16-piece band, that's 16 parts to copy. It's a big ordeal. You know, a piece of music that's all over within 3 minutes. Meant that the guy who wrote the music stayed off the streets a few nights. So it takes a certain kind of devotion to get the chart written. You know, and in jazz circles, you hear so many times somebody say, hey, let's get a big band together to rehearse. I'll write some charts, and he'll write some charts. You know those guys aren't going to write any charts, yeah? They're just, it's not going to happen, right? Hey, man, I'll write three, and Herbie can write four, and, yeah, nothing. Yeah. Usually it's the quietest guy in a band says, I'll do one. Yeah, and he will. He will. He'll come in with his chart, because he knows, right?
Les Timig knows all about writing charts. Now he opens up as a player on Open Sky.
There's two responses in music. One is our pitch harmony response, which is to sing and use your voice, and the other one is a rhythmic response, which is to dance and use your feet. That's the two human responses in music. And any time your concept of music gets too far away from those, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Two people can either get together, meet each other, and be playing music 5 minutes later, or they have to make plans a month in advance. See, I like the first way, and he's the first way. I like to think of myself as being the first way. So, that first time we played, Richard got off the plane, and while he's taking his bass out of the bag, he said, "Let's do this thing in F minor." And he sang it to me. I said, "Okay, fine." And we played it that night in public for the first time. No rehearsal. "Hi, how are you? Let's play this, F minor." "Good?" That's my kind of player.
Some of the qualities Timmick admires in Davis's music are best exemplified by the shout chorus.
A shout to me is a humorous thing. A shout to me is like saying, you know, "You have let this kid out of the, you have let this young, fresh horse out of the stable, out of the barn, and you turn him out in the ring, and he goes out and in the past, and he just goes crazy. And he does everything he can think of to do. Say, ah, oh, man, this is my thing. I'm out here in the real open. You know, horses like to feel that open space, you know? And so once he does this thing, then you go out there with a halter and bring him on in. It's like bring him home, you know? And it's like a melody or a soloist where you do your thing. And after you've done your thing, well, the shout chorus comes in and says, "Take him on home now," you know, shouting, "Take him on home." It's almost a thing of saying, "You've done your thing, and okay, let's go on back to the barn."
For the Davis Trio, it's time to put the finishing touches on Half Pass, to iron out problems, to clean up mistakes.
S-D.
S-D? Mm-hmm. Well, that's when we get into the blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I've got it.
You know what you can give me on that?
My problem.
I goofed that up.
Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Try it. Let's see what happens. Let me play the line. Also, you play the rhythm. Let's see.
Okay.
One,
that
two, right.
Pianist Consuela Lee Moorhead.
He does something on the bass, and then it inspires me oftentimes to answer him or do something similar on the piano.
It does. It fits with that.
Yeah.
Can we do it a little brighter? One,
sure.
Two. One, two, three, four.
This figure here, you don't have that figure written, you're just feeling it now, right?
Right.
See, it's here at, it's this figure. See, is that? Good.
We need it.
Let's try to keep the tempo.
Okay, I'll do
too.
Two blues choruses. I'll do the head, two blues choruses, then you do two blues choruses, and
okay.
Go into the shout.
Okay.
Okay.
After I do that thing, four bars.
Four bars.
Yeah. So I might even start doing that while I'm talking or something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for Wendell Bynes on drums and Consuela Lee Moorhead on the piano. Thank you, Connie. Take a little break now.
The preceding program was a tryout TV production, made possible in part by a special grant from the Friends of Channel 21, Incorporated.